Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, verse number 39. I'll read the verse and then we will discuss on translation and the purport. Atah vavatav mahimamrita rasa samriddha viprusha sakrit validaya swamanasi nishyand manana vatara sukhena Vismarati drishtashruta vishaya sukhlesha bhasa param bhagavata ekantino bhagavati sarvabhuta priya suhridi sarvatmani nitaram nirantaram nivritta manasah kathamuhava ete madhumathana punaha swartha kushala yatma priya suhridah sadhavastva charanam bhujanu sevam Visrajanti Nayatra Punarayam Samsara Pariya Vataha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? Purport. Although non-devotees, because of their meager knowledge and speculative habits, cannot understand the real nature of the Lord, a devotee who has once tasted the nectar from the Lord's lotus feet can realize what transcendental pleasure there is in the Lord's devotional service. A devotee knows that simply by rendering service to the Lord, he serves everyone. Therefore, devotees are real friends to all living entities. Only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurav Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishbhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminati Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading the sixth canto, which is exhibiting one of the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam called Poshanam, or protection by the Lord. And in this canto, the protection of the Lord is shown to two kinds of people by giving the stories. By the story of Ajamila, we see that how Lord protects even those who transgress the laws of Dharma, like Ajamila. And also, we see that Lord protects those who are devotees, like Indra. In this case, the particular chapter, Appearance of Vritrasura, we are on the 39th verse today. We have already studied how in the first 10 verses we see that Indra kills Vishwarupa, and then he gets sinful reaction which he distributes to different people. And then from verse number 11 onwards, we see that how Vritrasura is born and demigods attack. That goes up to verse number 20. And then from verse number 21 onwards, which we are seeing, we are on this section, up to verse number 45, demigods are offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the last section of this chapter, the Supreme Lord will answer, will instruct the demigods what to do. So this is how the whole chapter is divided. We are on the third section of this chapter where demigods are praying. They prayed before the appearance of the Lord, and after the Lord appeared, they are praying to the Lord for His mercy. We see in this particular incident of Vritrasura, it is a very instructive pastime for all the devotees. It informs us that what we should aspire for and what we should be aware or beware of, what we should avoid and what we should desire. It is explained very nicely in this pastime of appearance of Vritrasura, because we will see later during the fight, Vritrasura exhibits the transcendental qualities, and the transcendental qualities of Vritrasura are for us to understand what we should aspire for. And the fault in Indra's begging for protection from a demon or for protecting his own post is what we should be beware of. We should not aspire for that. So the whole incident, the whole pastime speaks about that. In this particular verse today, which we just read, it glorifies Krishna Katha. The translation says that just by Krishna Katha, three things can happen. So in this particular translation, these three things are given. The first thing, or the first effect the Krishna Katha has, is a person forgets the material sense enjoyment. That's the first effect being given in this particular verse. The second thing is given as he becomes the real friend of all the living entities. That is the second effect of the Krishna Katha being explained in this particular verse by demigods. And the third effect of hearing Krishna Katha is that he achieves the real success of human life and goes back home, back to Godhead, from where he never returns. So demigods are speaking about these three things. Prabhupada particularly in the purport is speaking about the mercy of devotees, that how devotees are merciful because they are full in knowledge, they are not into speculative habits, they are very clear about their goals, and they are the real well-wisher of every living entity. Although a very small purport, but Prabhupada has glorified the process of devotion, at the same time the association of devotees. Prabhupada says that devotees, they can provide the highest welfare to the living entity. Many a times all of us may have heard that the highest welfare for any person is to engage him in devotional service. Let us try to understand why devotion service is the highest welfare. With this example here, we can very clearly see demigods. Who are they? They are not ordinary living entities like us. By the power of their austerity, by the power of their good work, by the power of their piety, they have achieved very high position in this material world. In fact, they are the controllers. Not just the controllers, they are the empowered representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is not a small position. Although they have achieved such high position, being there for thousands of years, they are controlling certain areas, they have all the opulences. We can't even imagine the opulences of the demigods. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, various places, a brief description is given. Just by that description, we can understand the kind of opulences they have, the kind of facilities they have to enjoy this material world. But in spite of having all the facilities, all the power, all the opulences, they are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead for their protection. The real protection is the protection of the soul. Real protection is the protection of consciousness. Consciousness is not protected by material things, material facilities, material security may provide some solace, some happiness to the material body, which we see in case of demigods. But ultimately, they have to surrender, they have to approach the Supreme Personality, Krishna, for protection. And this is what we understand by the prayers of demigods. So devotees, now we have seen demigods, even being on the position of demigods is not considered as well-wisher of every living entity. Then why devotees are considered? What do devotees provide? Do they provide us some material facilities for performing devotional service? Do they provide us some material opulences to be happy in this material world? No. Let us try to understand what do devotees provide us and what does devotional service do to us. When we talk of people, broadly we can categorize them, talking of humans, into four categories. Or let's try to categorize the stages. There can be four stages for all of us. The first stage is where a person commits sinful activities. He is on that level where he is completely engrossed and entangled in this in this net of material activities, and he goes on committing sinful activities one after another. That's the first stage. The second stage is the stage of people who are in mode of goodness. The third stage is the stage of people who are liberated, stage of liberation. And the fourth stage is to achieve love of Godhead. Now these four stages, when we talk of, because we are talking here that how devotees are real friends of every living entity and how we should be away from material enjoyment. So the first stage of being at a sinful level where we are committing sinful activities which binds us in this material world completely, entangles us. We go on committing the sin, it creates a seed for another sinful activity, and then that seed fructifies, and then we again have to face the reaction, and this is called Sansara Chakra, the cycle of birth and death. So this goes on as long as you are on the first stage. Then a person raises himself to the platform of goodness. We can say a Brahmana. He is generally considered to be on the mode of goodness. And the third stage is of those liberated. Now in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains very nicely that what happens in these three stages. A stage of Karmi and Jnani, when we talk of mode of goodness and liberation. Mode of goodness can be considered at the stage of Karmis, and mode of and the stage of liberation is at the Jnanis. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he gives So he is speaking about the distinction, the supremacy of devotional service, bhakti, over other processes of karma and jnana. He says that karma and jnana cannot take you to the highest level of love of Godhead. Karma and jnana can maximum take you up to the level of liberation. In fact, any spiritual process other than bhakti can take you maximum to the level of liberation, and that too with prerequisite qualifications. There are prerequisite qualifications for one to achieve success through karma or through jnana. If you have to achieve success in karma, you need to have a proper time, place and circumstances. With jnana, you need to have a proper process to purify your internal senses. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes this. But bhakti doesn't have any prerequisite qualification. Bhakti doesn't require you to do certain things to achieve success. Bhakti is dependent on mercy of Krishna and devotees. And that is why a beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly explains Kirathunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhirishumbhayavana Kasadaya Yanyecha Papa Yadapashraya Shraya Shuddhyanti tasmai prabhaveshnave namaha. This verse says, it gives various categories of the people. Kirat, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha. All those who are on the lower categories. Sinful people. Not very highly elevated. But these people also can be liberated or can achieve the highest perfection of human life just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is devotional service. So devotional service doesn't have any prerequisite. Anyone in any condition can perform devotional service. And that is why we see that devotional service is so powerful that even if you are on the level of sinful activities or you are on the level of karmis, or we say mode of goodness, or you are on the level of liberation, pure devotional service can take you directly to the love of Godhead. And we have various examples of this. Talk of sinful people, we were just discussing about Ajamila or Mrigarari. Narada Muni, just by his association, gave him love of Godhead. That's sinful. So from sinful stage one can go. Talk of mode of goodness, the second stage. We have various examples in Chaitanya Leela, like the Maharashtrian Brahmin. Brahmins are generally considered in mode of goodness. He was liberated. He was not liberated. He was given love of Godhead by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So from a sinful stage, Mrigarari was elevated. From mode of goodness, Maharashtrian Brahmin was elevated. And from the level of liberation, we see four Kumaras or Shukadev Goswami. Those who were on that level, they were given love of Godhead. This is called the power of bhakti. And bhakti is achieved, the devotion is achieved at in association of devotees. Because when we perform devotional service, because of our previous conditioning or say previous habits, immaturity, or our strong association with material energy, we are bound to commit offenses and fall down in devotional service. So our fall down, so-called fall down, there is no fall down in devotional service. So our our obstacles in devotional service comes due to our previous habits. It comes due to immaturity in devotional service, and it comes due to strong connection with material energy. And all these three lead us to committing offenses towards devotees and towards Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki Jai, Shri Shri Vanitai ki Jai, Shri La Prabhupada ki Jai. So the process of coming out of this condition is to transfer our attachment to devotees. Lord Kapila in the third canto speaks about a beautiful verse which speaks the power of attachment to devotees. Prasangan ajaram pasham atmanah kavayo vidu sa ev sadhushu krito sa esh sadhushu krito mokshadvaram apavritam. Very beautifully he has explained the process of changing our material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. He says, prasangan ajaram pasham. Pasham means entanglement. And prasangan means attachment. So he says, kavayo vidu, that everyone knows, all the intelligent people knows, that the attachment to matter, attachment to material things, is the cause for bondage. Ajaram pasham. We are bound in this material world because we are attached to material things. But he says very beautifully, sa esh, the same attachment, if it is transferred, sadhushu krito, if it is transferred to the devotees of the Lord, Mokshadwaram apavritam. It opens the doors of liberation. So just see, we cannot give up our attachments. Attachment will always be there, but we can transfer our attachment. When we are attached, attachment creates our consciousness. When we are attached to material things, it is called material consciousness. And when we are attached to Krishna and his devotees, it is called Krishna consciousness. That's all. It is all a matter of attachment. Where are you attached to? Whom are you attached to? So very beautifully Lord Kapila says that yes, we all have attachments, but just transfer that attachment to the devotees. Sa eva sadhu shukrito. So just transfer that attachment. One attachment leads to bondage and another attachment leads to liberation. It is up to us which attachment we choose. If we choose devotees, if we have attachment to devotees and Krishna, mokshadwaram apavritam, very, very soon we will be liberated. We will achieve love of God. But if it is not, then the only thing we will achieve is punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. We will achieve birth after birth after birth and only miseries. So the power of devotion is such, and it is the only path. In Brahma Purana, there is a conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati where he speaks about Adhyatma Ramayana, the glories of Lord Ramachandra to Parvati. And Parvati, before asking the question to Lord Shiva, she mentions the power, she mentions the way of achieving God. She says, the way of success in this material world is only one. Beautifully she presents, bhakti prasiddham bhavamokshanaya nanyatat sadhanam kinchidasti. She says, bhakti prasiddham bhavamokshanaya. If you want to be liberated from the cycle of birth and death, you want to go away from this material world, bhakti prasiddham. The only way, it is famous that there is only way, devotional service, bhakti. Na anyat sadhanam kinchid asti. She says there is no other method to achieve success. Various places in Ramayana, there is an incident when Parshuram was trying to defeat Lord Ramachandra. He came, he confronted Lord Ramachandra, and he said that, if you have the power, please take this bow, because you have already broken Lord Shiva's bow. Take this one. And then Lord Ramachandra, very coolly, very smilingly, he took that bow and he had the arrow on that. And that is the time when Parshuram realized that this person standing in front of me is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So at that time, Lord Ramachandra told Parshuram, ask what do you want, ask some benediction from me. So you see, Parshuram could have asked for anything. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is willingly giving the benediction. And then Parshuram asked two benedictions, very, very nice benedictions he asked. He says, yadi menugraho ramam tavasti madhusudanah tvad bhakta sangas tvad pado sada drida bhakti sadastume. He says, yadi menugraho rama, O my dear Lord Ram, if you want to shower your mercy on me, anugraha, yadi menugraho rama tavasti madhusudana, O Madhusudan, O Lord Ramachandra, You want to shower your mercy on me? Please give me these things. And what is he asking? Tvat bhakta sangha. Give me the association of your devotees. Tvat bhakta sangha. Sangha means association. Bhakta means devotee. Tvat means yours. Give me your association of your devotees. Tvat bhakta sangha. Tvat padav. Drid bhakti sadastume. Give me the association of devotees so that my devotion to your lotus feet can be firm and fixed always. This is what I request you to give. So this is what Parshuram is asking. So bhakti, the devotional service, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, is the only way for us to achieve success of this human life. So as I was explaining, the real success is to reach on the fourth level, not just stay on the first level, be sinful, not just be in the mode of goodness, and not just be liberated also. Liberation is a byproduct of devotion. It will automatically be achieved. We don't have to strive for it. What we have to strive, as the demigods are saying, devotional service. How can one give up devotional service? Strive to serve devotees in a humble way. Humility and also service to Guru. In Bhagavad Gita, there are 20 items given by Lord Krishna, which he considers as knowledge. And he says, rest all, beyond this, anything which is there is not knowledge. And Prabhupada mentions 3 items out of that, very important. These are the verses which starts from Amanitvam, Adhambitvam, Ahinsakshantirarjavam, Acharya Upasana, Shaucham, Sthairyam, Atma Vinigraha, etc. Speaks about 20 items. And Prabhupada says, the first one, Amanitvam, humility, being humble is very important. Acharya Upasana, worshipping the devotees of the Lord, worshipping the spiritual master is very important. And then Bhaktir Avyabhicharini, the devotional service without any motive. So if we have this, if we serve devotees, what did Narad Muni do in his life, previous life? He just served devotees. There are various examples in the Shastras, where just by serving devotees, we can achieve perfection. Devotees have achieved perfection. Please understand, the path of bhakti is not based on our own endeavor or our own power. Path of bhakti, or the progress in the path of bhakti, is completely dependent on mercy. We cannot force Krishna to give love because we have spent 20 years in devotional life, 30 years in devotional life. I have been chanting for 30 years. Krishna has to give me love. No, that's not. Mercy means no basis. Wherever there is basis, that is called justice. And Krishna doesn't do justice. He gives mercy. If he starts doing justice, none of us will sit here. It is Krishna's mercy. So please understand that the progress is not on our own endeavors. It is not on our own power, not on our own strict sadhana. The process of bhakti is so powerful, it can purify us just by mercy of devotees. Even a person who is not able to maintain strict sadhana, Prabhupada writes at one place, even if he is not able to maintain strict sadhana, but if he has unflinching faith in Krishna, he is a sadhu. Sadhureva samantavya. Because temporary fall down in devotional service, that is the beauty of devotional service. Even if a person is not able to perform properly, even he has a so-called fall down, the process of bhakti is so powerful, it lifts him again. That is why It is said, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, a devotee is never defeated by material attractions. Though for some time he may get attracted. He gives an example of a warrior. He says a warrior in the war, he is fighting. He gets hurt. Weapons are thrown at him. He is hurt. Sometimes he may not be able to stand up, but again he stands up. As long as he is fighting, he will definitely come out as victorious. If he doesn't give up. So even in devotional service, it's a fight for us. We are all warriors. As long as we continue our fight, as long as we have complete faith in the process of devotional service, as long as we are doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna will protect us. So it is the mercy of Krishna which flows through devotees that protects us. In fact, not just protects us. When we come to devotional service, what is it that brings us to devotional service? It's the mercy of devotees. We begin our devotional service by mercy of devotees. We continue in devotional service by mercy of devotees. And we achieve perfection in devotional service by mercy of devotees. And what do we do after achieving perfection? We serve the devotees of the Lord. This is devotional service. And today we have the fortune of celebrating an appearance day of a very great devotee of the Lord, Srimati Radharani. We can say we are celebrating Radhashtami today. All of you may be surprised. Well, Gadadhar Pandit. Srimati Radharani appeared as Gadadhar Pandit in Chaitanya Leela, and today is his appearance day, Gadadhar Pandit. A lot can be said about him, how he performed his pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the qualities he displayed, the instructions he gave through his life, through his pastimes. But due to lack of time, I would like to narrate one or two incidents of his life. Gadadhar Pandit was born in Betli Gram, which is in Bangladesh today. Today is Bangladesh. His father's name was Madhav Mishra and mother Ratnavati Devi. He was few years younger than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had shifted to Nadia and they were staying very near to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house, or and Shachi Devi and Ratnavati Devi were quite close friends. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. They were, from the beginning, they were together, and Gadadhar Pandit even accompanied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri. So there are various pastimes where we see that Gadadhar Pandit was very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house. This was the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had started exhibiting the symptoms of a devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting and Gadadhar Pandit came. And he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking about Krishna, and then he told Gadadhar Pandit, I don't have love for Krishna. Just see. I'm not able to see Krishna. I want to see Krishna. Where is he? Gadadhar said, he is there in your heart. Why are you worried? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started piercing his chest with his nails. He wanted to see Krishna. Shachi Devi was observing all this from behind. She was scared to come. In fact, whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such symptoms, Shachi Devi used to get scared. So she was scared, standing behind, and she was looking what's happening, and Gadadhar was telling. And when he started doing this, piercing his chest, Gadadhar stopped him. And he said, don't worry. You will see Krishna very soon. Krishna will appear to you. And just by hearing this from Gadadhar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his consciousness. And at that time, Shachi Devi saw. She said, if anyone else would have told him, he would not have stopped. But it is only you, Gadadhar. Because of you, he has stopped. Please be with my son all the time. Don't leave him. See the beauty of Chaitanya Leela. In Krishna Leela, Radharani was told not to meet Krishna. Yes, Jatila and Kutila and all others were stopping Radharani. You cannot meet Krishna, and you know they used to find ways of meeting. And here she's been instructed, please be with Krishna all the time. So Gadadhar Pandit used to be all the time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are various pastimes of Gadadhar. One time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet Nityananda Prabhu, the first meeting with Nityananda Prabhu, all of you know about it. Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadeep, but he did not go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he wanted to have his darshan. But he did not go, thinking that I am the elder brother, so he should come to me. Actually, Lord Balaram always wanted to be elder brother, because when he came as a younger brother in Lord Ramachandra's pastime, he didn't like it. He had to obey orders which he didn't like at all. Like when Lord Ramachandra was banished, he was given the punishment without any faults, that please go to the forest for 14 years. Lakshman was very angry and he told Ramachandra, no need to go to forest, don't worry. This old man, a lusty person, he was referring to his father. This old lusty man has got attachment to the woman and he's banishing you. I'll throw him and I will take over the throne, don't worry. And if anyone objects, even the entire population, all the citizens of Ayodhya, if they object, I will kill them. I'll burn Ayodhya down. Lord Ramachandra, maybe he was thinking, then where will I rule if you burn down everything? So please sit down. So he said, don't, no, you're not supposed to do it. And he had to keep quiet. Then again, various incidents are there, like banishing of Sita, or even many other places. When he wanted to go and kill Bharat, he saw in the forest that Bharat is coming with the army and he said, I'll just go ahead and I'll kill. And Ram said, no. So every time Ram used to tell, who's the elder brother? He said, just keep quiet. So he never wanted to become. So this time also in Chaitanya Leela. So he did not go to see. Nityananda Prabhu did not go to see because I am the elder brother. He should come to see. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood. And with all his devotees, he went to see. Come, we'll go. There is a very powerful personality who has come in Navadeep. We will go and see him. So all of them, all the devotees, he took all the devotees and he went to see Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, that meeting cannot be described. As soon as Nityananda Prabhu saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell unconscious. And that is the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Nityananda Prabhu and had his head on his lap. So Nityananda Prabhu was sleeping on the lap of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing this, Gadadhar said, he said, today the pride of Ananta has been defeated. Because Ananta thinks that he is serving the Supreme Lord always by glorifying him, by becoming his bed, by becoming his paraphernalia. But today Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, is serving Ananta by keeping his head on his lap. So his pride has been defeated. And when I look at this, I remember the incident where Lord Ramachandra, when Lakshman was hurt during the battle with Rakshas Ravan, then Lord Ramachandra was similarly holding Lakshman in his lap as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is holding Nityananda Prabhu. So Gadadhar Pandit was always with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, he accompanied him. Before that, one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Advaita Acharya's house. This shows the mood of Gadadhar. Gadadhar was in mood of madhurya, conjugal love. He was not in the mood of opulence. So when they went to Advaita Acharya's house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as soon as he entered, Advaita Acharya was reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And hearing them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell into ecstasy and he became unconscious. At the same time, Advaita Acharya started worshipping the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing this, Gadadhar chastised Advaita Acharya. He said, "What are you doing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is younger than you. Why are you worshipping him? You shouldn't. You are so elderly person. Why are you worshipping?" And Advaita Acharya said, "One day you will realize who this boy is." In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had told Gadadhar once, that, "Gadadhar, I'll become such a Vaishnava that even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma will come to see me." Gadadhar took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. That pastime is very famous. Mukunda took Gadadhar, and Gadadhar was standing there, very, very elevated. Devotee has come, Vaishnava has come, let me go and have his darshan. And he's taking darshan, and how is he seeing Pundarik? Pundarik is enjoying on a very opulent bed with all the servants offering him all the facilities, all the things. And he's wearing opulent clothes. No sign of a devotee, and specifically of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because what is the sign of a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu ra bhakta ganera vairagya pradhan. Jaha dekhi priti haina gaura bhagavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes pleased when he sees renunciation. So the main quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, Mahaprabhu ra bhakta ganera vairagya pradhan, is vairagya, renunciation. But here, what is renunciation in Pundarik Vidyanidhi? How can he be a devotee? Thinking that, Mukunda started reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam. And just hearing those verses, Pundarik Vidyanidhi fell in ecstasy. Tore down his clothes, fell down on the floor. Krishna, Krishna. And then he realized, what mistake have I done? And so Gadadhar Pandit thought about taking initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and Mukunda approached, and at an auspicious day he was given the initiation by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A very famous pastime, this is the last pastime I would like to narrate because time is running short. A very famous pastime of Gadadhar is Kshetra Sannyas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar also went with him, and he took Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means, a person when he takes Kshetra Sannyas, he remains in that area. He never leaves that area. That is called Kshetra Sannyas. That means he has taken, Kshetra means place, Sannyas means renunciation. So Kshetra Sannyas means a person who has come to a particular place like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, etc. And he has taken Kshetra Sannyas, that means he has given up all other places. He will never leave the boundaries of that place. That is called Kshetra Sannyas. Like most of you are staying in Vrindavan. And I'm sure many of you may not be leaving the boundary of Vrindavan. So all of you are Kshetra, most of you are Kshetra Sannyasis. Fortunate people, we are not like that. So Gadadhar Pandit, he took Kshetra Sannyas in Jagannath Puri, that I will never leave the boundaries of Jagannath Puri. He took that vow. In fact, at one place it is said, it is better to take Kshetra Sannyas than Vanaprastha. Person should go and stay in one place like holy place like Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, etc., and throughout the life can stay there. So he stayed in Jagannath Puri, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, leaving Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar also accompanied him. As everyone was going, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Gadadhar. He said, "Are Gadadhar, you are not supposed to come. You are a Kshetra Sannyasi. Why are you coming?" He was staying in Jagannath Puri and he was worshipping Tota Gopinath. Very beautiful deity. There is a pastime how that deity bent down because of Gadadhar. When he was old, he was not able to serve the deities. He was not even able to garland the deities. So the deity bent down. Okay, take the service. So Gadadhar started going in Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu said, "You are not supposed to come. You are a Kshetra Sannyasi. Why are you giving up your vows? You are supposed to serve Gopinath." And Gadadhar said, "Wherever you are, your darshan is 1,000 times more beneficial than serving Gopinath." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried explaining him. He didn't listen. He came with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him. "I will get the blame. Why are you coming? You are giving up principles of your sannyas. You are giving up principles of serving Gopinath. Please stay." Gadadhar said, "Wherever you are, that is my Kshetra Sannyas. Let my Kshetra Sannyas go to hell." A beautiful instruction that rituals are for pleasing Krishna. If rituals are hindrance in pleasing Krishna, give up that ritual. And Gadadhar is showing that even a vow of sannyas, he was ready to give up for pleasing Krishna, for being with Krishna. So then Gadadhar said, "Okay, I won't come with you, I'll come alone." So he started walking behind. And after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him. This was out of the boundary of Jagannath Puri, near Katak. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Now you should go back. And you go back because it will give me pleasure. I will be happy if you go back. Now you have already broken your vow of sannyas. Please go back and serve Gopinath. And this is what will please me. This is my order." And Gadadhar fell unconscious just by hearing this, because he had to leave the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gives a very nice principle of devotional service. Sometimes we do service because we like it. Here he is explaining, even though you may not like it, you may have to face so much misery, your heart will be shattered, but if it is pleasing to Krishna, you should do it. So Gadadhar explained this concept, that although he didn't want to, he was ready to give up his sannyas, but just because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased, he said, "I will be pleased if you go back." So for his pleasure, he took the trouble of coming back to Jagannath Puri. And he served Gopinath for a long time. There are various pastimes of Gadadhar, but since time doesn't permit, we would like to stop here by chanting the pranam mantra of Gadadhar. Is a very beautiful pranam mantra which I have written it down. Gadadharam maham vande madhvacharya nandanam mahabhava swarupa shri Chaitanya Bhinna Rupinam. It is said, Gadadharam Aham Vande. I am paying my obeisances to Gadadhar. Gadadharam Aham Vande Madhvacharya Nandanam, who is the son of Madhva, Madhav Mishra or Madhvacharya. And then he says, Mahabhava Swarupa. He is none other than Mahabhava Swarupa Shri. He is Srimati Radharani, the manifestation of Mahabhava. Mahabhava Swarupam Shri Chaitanya Bhinna Rupina, and is non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for your kind attention. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.